Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
This week, the Wall Street Journal reported that Donald Trump was told by the US Justice Department in May that he is in the Jeffrey Epstein files. Now, it noted that appearing in the documents isn't a sign of any wrongdoing by Trump, but still, the initial response from a White House spokesperson was that this was a fake news story. Jeffrey Epstein's morass surrounding President Donald Trump is deepening amid growing defiance by some Republicans and despite attempts by the administration at distraction. It is the most serious challenge to Trump's authority over the MAGA base in either of his administrations, it would appear. So to talk us through the scandal that keeps on knocking at Trump's door and just won't go away, I'm joined in studio by journalist Marion McKeown. Good morning. Lovely to have you here.
Good morning, Philip. And lovely to be here.
You can dismiss about 99.99% of conspiracy theories that are embraced by the MAGA base as just pure and utter nonsense. But you cannot do that with Jeffrey Epstein simply because there's just so much that we don't know, so much that could be true, so much that is still being withheld. So my first question to you is a big picture question. What's your instinct? Does all of this stuff contain a smoking gun or is it a puff of smoke?
I think that there is a massive story here, because let's talk very briefly about what we do know. We do know that Jeffrey Epstein sexually abused and trafficked more than 1,000 underage girls. We do know that he ran for almost three decades a vast underage girl sex ring where young girls were groomed, they were exploited, they were trafficked and they were raped. So we do know that. Now, we do know that Ghislaine Maxwell was his main accomplice and recruiter of these young girls and took part in the abuse. We do know she's serving 20 years in a Florida prison for her role. We do know that Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide in a prison in Manhattan in a detention center while he was awaiting trial. We do know that even though he was previously on suicide watch and had already attempted to commit suicide, all of the normal protections and supervisions were not working the night that he committed suicide. We do know there's a small bit of tape missing from the camera, the video camera in the prison. So these are the things that fuel conspiracy theories. And we do know that Jeffrey Epstein entertained and scores of America's most powerful people in the entertainment, the business world, the financial world and the political world at his house in New York at this big mansion on Madison Avenue. We know that he also entertained them in Palm Beach. And we also know that he had an island in the Virgin Islands where he flew young girls and they claimed hundreds of them and they received compensation that they were abused by friends of Jeffrey Epstein. So we do know all that.
And we do know as well that he received one of the most remarkably light touch sentences for a man who had done as much as he had done back in the noughties.
This was extraordinary. I think it's worth just for a second talking about this because I spoke to some of the Miami police a long time ago who were investigating Epstein. 1996 was the first time that Epstein, a formal complaint was made to the police. It was made by a woman called Maria Farmer, who was hired by Epstein as an art consultant. She was a graduate from a New York art academy. Eileen Guggenheim had said to her, ordered her, she said, to sell a particular piece of art to Epstein at a very discounted price. She went on to become his alleged art advisor. He phoned her one night at 9 o'clock in the evening in 1996 and said to her, can you come into the office now? She'd been out running. So she went into the office. She claims that Donald Trump then came into the office and he leered over her. She was wearing shorts and she was sweating. And Epstein then opened the door to his office and said, no, no, she's not for you. And she also says that as Trump walked into the office, that he said, I thought she was 16. Now, she reported all of this to the police. She reported other things as well, that she was sexually assaulted by Maxwell and Epstein, and that her younger sister, her 16-year-old sister, who she was asked to bring to a picnic at his ranch, was also sexually assaulted. There is a record of this from 1996. In 2006, when the investigation was going on into Epstein, the police came back to her. Now, initially, this started as a state investigation in Florida. And then the Florida police, the Miami police, told me and told a lot of journalists, they were big-footed, that the state attorney took it over and said, no, 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 we're dealing with this now. A deal was done where Epstein got a 13-month prison sentence. He was allowed to leave prison every day, and it was on one specimen charge of soliciting prostitution. Now, in Florida, it's illegal to have sex with somebody who's under 18. This related to a 14-year-old girl, so she could not have been a prostitute. So this was outrageous and scandalous at the time. And no, it has to be said, the Obama administration came in for two terms after that. Nobody reviewed it. It was left lie. So successive administrations, Democratic and Republican, ignored it.
And we do also know that although he might have styled himself as a hedge fund manager, Jeffrey Epstein was not a hedge fund manager, and there is no apparent reason for his enormous wealth and the huge sums of money that were being given to him by very influential people.
Right. And let me talk about one fascinating little quirk in all this. I had friends who went to school in these fancy upper New York, Upper East Side schools like the Spence School and the Dalton School. Now, 1974, Bill Barr was Trump's attorney general in the last administration, okay? And he did a number of things that were considered very, very controversial in protecting Donald Trump. But leave that alone. His father, Don Barr, was the head of the Dalton School in 1974. Don Barr was a stickler. He was a dreadful stickler for academic standards. Suddenly, this guy wanders in one day in an ankle-length fur coat, purple velvet pants, and a big wide 1970s shirt with a hairy chest and the medallion. And it's a 21-year-old Jeffrey Epstein, who is a college dropout. He has no qualifications. He's the son of a Coney Island gardener. And suddenly he's teaching math and physics.
And acting inappropriately in the most, with those pupils.
In the most elite school in Manhattan. So this was where he got his entree into society. He then went on to work for Bear Stearns. And as you say, he had no apparent qualifications. But suddenly people like Leon Black, and this is something the Senate is currently looking into. Leon Black, founder of Apollo Management, massive global investment banker.
Hugely wealthy person.
He paid Epstein $170 million for advice on tax and estate planning. Why does one of the most brilliant men in New York pay Epstein?
Who could have his pick of any wealth manager in the world.
Pay Epstein $170 million for services. Okay. And this is what is fueling the conspiracy, all of this
because
stuff.
Because we have to admit that there's a major caveat attached to pretty much everything that you've said there, that there could be innocent explanations for everything here. But if there are, nobody's providing them.
This is the problem, and nobody has been looking for them. So I think that what I suspect may happen here is that if there is a change in control in the House in 2026, which there may be, and Democrats take control, that at the moment they're saying this is a cover-up like Iran-Contra. You have the Attorney General, you have the Speaker of the House, you have the Deputy Attorney General, who are all lying to us about what's going on here. You have the President of the United States, who's lying to us about, you know, various things that have been proven to be false. Now, nobody is saying Donald Trump committed any crimes at the moment. We know that his behaviour in the 1980s and the 1990s around women was skeevy at best. We know he boasted about hanging out with younger girls. We know that he said in interviews on radio with Howard Stern that he promised his daughter Ivanka, who was 17, that he wouldn't date anyone younger than her. You know, stuff that would give you the ick.
We don't need any more.
Stuff that would give you the ick, but it's not criminal, okay? So why is Trump not saying, it's all out there, there's the pictures of me with Epstein, yeah, I palled around him, yeah, we behaved in a skeevy way, but that's it. So almost Trump is being his own worst enemy, because this also, when I was covering the campaign last year, at every rally he would say, as soon as I get in, I'm going to release the Epstein files. And that was a promise to his base.
Before we go on to talk about how the base is or isn't receiving his actions in this area, let's just do the exercise in contrast.
Yeah.
How has he been treating things like the release of the JFK files, the Martin Luther King files, and the 9/11 files by comparison with the Epstein documents?
Well, they released all the Martin Luther King files just last week. His family were opposed to it, all of the FBI files, because there'd been a lot of stuff where the FBI, as we know, tried to discredit him and dirty him up and make false claims about
him. It was
seen
as a distraction. Somebody in the Martin Luther King family said, great, now release the Epstein files.
But the family also said, we did not want these files released because there's a lot of false information that was put in by the FBI, which has since been actually proven. And then it's like, okay, you release the Kennedy, you release the whatever. And Trump was asked in a Fox interview at one point, would he, you know, 9/11, yeah, Kennedy, yeah, whatever. And then he said Epstein, then he said, yeah. And they said, well, maybe, because there might be false things in there. And he got a little cagey. Now, we do remember when he and Elon Musk erupted. It was because Musk tweeted, and by the way, Trump's in the Epstein files. But there's nothing
and
wrong with that.
And then deleted the tweet.
There's nothing necessarily. The Epstein files are 300 kilobytes. Like, if you think all your photographs on your computer are, and if you've got thousands, they're probably four or five. It would be weird if Trump's name wasn't in there. They hung around together. They were friends, mm-hmm. etc. Mm-hmm. There's no suggestion of that fact alone. Clinton's name is certainly in there. Bill Gates's name is certainly in there. Andy Derwich, like a lot of high profile names are in there because they went around his house, they had dinner with him, they flew on his jet. It's not saying that these people were in any way involved in the sex trafficking or abuse of underage girls. But nobody wants their name at this point to be associated with Jeffrey Epstein. I had a very good friend in New York, a criminal lawyer called Ed Hayes, very well known, represented all kinds of mafia people, but was also a litigator for the Andy Warhol estate, Anna Wintour, all these people. And he said to me, Epstein lived on 71st and Madison, biggest mansion in New York. Ed had a townhouse around the corner, two blocks away. And he said that Epstein would repeatedly invite him to his house in the 2000s and say, come around to one of my parties. And one day Ed said, I'm not going to your parties. And Epstein said, why not? And Ed said, because you're a pervert and a pimp and everyone knows it. Now, Ed told me that he said, look, everyone who went to Epstein's house knew what he was up to.
Knew what they were getting into.
He said, I'm not saying they took part in it, but they knew what he was doing. They knew how he was around young girls. So they, even if they weren't participating, they were, for whatever reason, you know, like he was inviting famous people, more famous people were attracted because other famous people were there. And so these files will have a lot of names.
Why does this matter so much to the MAGA base? Why is it not January the 6th? Why is it not JFK assassination? Why does this particular scandal seem to be the one that is sticking? Now, I'm not predicting the demise of Donald Trump. Too many people have made fools of themselves before doing
Indeed.
That. But why is this particular one dogging him this way?
Because this was sold to the MAGA base over and over and over. They have a real thing about paedophiles and the Democrats, and they have always believed that Hillary and Bill Clinton were secretly running paedophile rings. You may remember the pizza shoot up in Washington, D.C., where they believed that was the headquarters of this underground paedophile world that was run by Democrats. So Trump,
we're not really talking about more than a fraction of a fraction who actually sincerely believe that.
No, rubbish. But what they do believe and what Trump fed them and what I heard over and over again when I spoke to these people was that there was a sinister cabal in Washington, D.C. and it was all about paedophilia. It was all about young girls, and Bill and Hillary Clinton were in the thick of it and they were being protected, that they were the ones who were being protected by the non-release of these files. But I should also say, Philip, and that's why the base are so angry, because Trump had been saying, I'm going to do this. He was encouraging them to believe this. And he was saying, you vote for me, I'll release these files. We'll go after these people. And suddenly he's president, and suddenly Pam Bondi is going, the files, the client list is on my desk. We don't know if there is a client list. There may never have been a client list of Epstein's, you know. And by the client list, they mean rich men who were his clients in the abuse of young girls, that he was farming out or loaning out these young girls. That's what the client list is.
So is the subtext of this that Trump has presented himself as the wrecker, the destroyer of the establishment, of these elites, and that now he appears to be somewhat captured by the deep state?
That he is covering for them, that the very people he promised to expose, he is now protecting. So all these people who believe that Trump was their guy, when he would say, because he would always say to them, they're coming after me because I'm what stands between them and you. And he was trying to say, this deep state is after all of you, and I'm your only protector, and I'm going to expose these villains. And it was all tied in their heads, and dozens and dozens of people I spoke to with Epstein, Epstein, Epstein. And suddenly then he has his chance. Pam Bondi says, it's on my desk. And then suddenly in July, she goes, oh, nothing to see here. There is no client list. And Jeffrey Epstein committed suicide, because they all believed. And David Arenberg, another lawyer who was involved in this, he said, they're not going to be happy until they get Bill Clinton's head on a platter, and until they are told that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered in his prison cell by the Clintons. And that's what they really want. And now they believe Trump is preventing that.
Because, I mean, the idea that Jeffrey Epstein would have written down a single client list of all of the people that he had procured underage girls for is just an absolute nonsense, isn't it?
But this was what Trump and his and Kash Patel, the FBI director, and Dan Bongino, the deputy director, who had a whole podcast, living a very wealthy one on this. Dan Bongino, before he became the deputy FBI director, had a podcast. His podcast was fueled and funded by Epstein conspiracy theories. And he kept saying, again, the Clintons, the deep state, blah, 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 we're going to expose it. And suddenly he has to go along with this as well.
So hoist by their own petard.
I think that's a fair assessment, Philip, yes.
All right. Marion McKeown. Thank you very much. There were a number of disturbing things that myself and Marion discussed there, and I am aware that that could be upsetting, indeed triggering for any number of different listeners. So please, if you have been affected by any of this, you should go to rte.ie/helplines. You'll find the appropriate number for yourself there. Marion, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.